Now, Bradley's conception is brilliant, but her execution is somewhat less so, because she falls into the trap of being over-stereotypical. Every single Christian in the Mists of Avalon is close-minded, violent, destructive of the old religion, hating everything that's not under their control, and antagonistic to Avalon. Likewise, almost every single druid or priestess is in touch with nature, in touch with their own sexual self, etc., etc. You can see how this goes. It's almost a cliche, and it becomes pretty tedious after a while because you know in the 910-page book what every person's character is going to be as soon as you know which side they're on. But that said, despite all of its flaws, The Mists of Avalon is enormously important for a couple reasons. And I think the first is the hardest to measure. The Mists of Avalon inspired a whole generation of not just writers but readers. I know so many of my female students or my female colleagues who were enormously inspired by reading The Mists of Avalon, who read all the subsequent sequels, and Bradley then takes the idea and runs it to death. There's The Priestess of Avalon, and there's some follow-up books in Avalon from the women's point of view, and then she does The Fall of Troy from the women's point of view, and you could see that if she had lived, she would keep doing these women's point of view books from just about any historical epoch. It's better that other people have come along and started to do that. But what she did, and I give Bradley more credit for this even than Ursula Le Guin, is that she made fantasy no longer be a boys' genre. And that has been enormously important in the kind of flourishing of fantasy literature that's come along in the past 10 years and has been closely associated with both the Harry Potter books and with Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings movies. It used to be that fantasy was a boys' genre. And that was clear even back through the 80s and 90s, that 90% of your audience for fantasy literature, 90% of your audience for Tolkien was male. That is no longer the case. When I give lecturings at gatherings of Tolkien enthusiasts, the crowd is easily 50-50 male-female, and oftentimes more female than male, though I will have to say that many of the women in the crowd are wearing elf princess costumes, and I'm not really sure what that means. But in any event, by doubling the size of the potential audience for fantasy, Bradley and people who followed in her footsteps have brought a new life to the genre and brought in new ideas and new approaches. All this old material can be treated in a new way, and that's exactly what the new wave of writers, who are really beyond the scope of this course because it's hard to tell which ones will be successful and which ones will have great aesthetic achievements and which ones are just getting started. But there's this whole new group of writers, and they're not all female, but they're male writers who take some of these things into account.